It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, and you know her.
Let's take a walk along the Dinah shore.
Dinah.
It's hard to believe that a young lady born in the early 1900s with the name Fanny Rose Shore is now best remembered as the founder of a women's professional golf tournament where the winner leaps into a lake in celebration. Back in 1972, the LPGA's Colgate Dinah Shore Winner's Circle Classic in Southern California was born. Throughout its 51 years and rotating sponsors in California, the tournament's spirit was always reflected by everyone's affection for the founding host, Dinah Shore. Now, last week, the LPGA Major Tournament's new sponsor, Chevron, relocated this event to the Woodlands, Texas. And I was fortunate enough to have spent a few days at the golf course as it transforms into the Chevron Championship. Chevron and the LPGA organizers did a really good job at continuing the spirit of Dinah Shore at this year's event, right down to the unique victory leap into a lake by the winner. Born as Fanny Rose Shore in Tennessee, the young woman battled through polio during her early years. Though one of her legs would remain shorter than the other, she was a cheerful youth who excelled in the classroom and with sports. She also loved to sing. She attended nearby Vanderbilt University for college and was on the swimming and fencing teams there. Armed with a degree in sociology, Fanny Rose Shore's singing talent earned an appearance on Nashville's Grand Ole Opry show with its large national audience listening via Clear Channel 50,000-watt WSM 650 AM radio. After singing the popular 1930s song Dinah, a radio personality began to refer to her as That Dinah Girl, and that nickname stuck. Dinah Shore became a popular singer and entertainment personality for the next 40 years. She cranked out hit records during the 1940s and 50s. She became one of the first female television hosts with her own popular television variety show series into the 1960s. And during the 1970s, Dinah Shore's interpersonal skills and disarming Tennessee charm helped to extend her career as she became one of the forerunners of television talk and interview shows. Much like Lucille Ball, Dinah Shore became an early trailblazer for women in the entertainment business. It was Dinah Shore's lifelong love for athletics which opened the door for her involvement in women's professional golf. A talented tennis player and golfer, Dinah Shore was a big attraction at celebrity and tennis golf events. In 1972, the LPGA Golf Tour had 29 weekly events for the women, and the average weekly purse was about $30,000 split among the top half of that field. The inaugural Dinah Shore Golf Tournament in 1972 would debut with a total prize money of $110,000. It was the first LPGA event to top $100,000 in prize money for participating players. And Dinah Shore remained personally involved in every aspect of the tournament every year until her death in 1994 at the age of 77. She personally promoted the golf tournament for months beforehand and attended the entire slate of events during tournament week. The Dinah Shore name attracted national television coverage, as the host even spent some time in the broadcast booth as a guest analyst to welcome viewers to the golf tournament. After a generally successful 50-year run at Mission Hills Country Club in Palm Springs, California, the golf tournament began to lose its luster in recent years and needed an injection of new life. Enter Chevron and the state of Texas. The new sponsor upped the payout by over 40% this year to more than $5 million. The four-day tournament regained national television coverage via Golf Channel and NBC. The event, which is one of five majors on the LPGA Golf Tour, was moved to the Jack Nicklaus Signature Golf Club, located about 35 miles north of Houston, Chevron's hometown, in the Woodlands, Texas. Though California may be grieving over the loss of this longtime LPGA event, the new tournament sponsor promised to keep Dinah Shore's touch in mind as it would now be played in Texas. Last week, every day of the Chevron Championship featured special events which were patterned directly from the Dinah Shore golf event in California. And at the conclusion of the week, the winner received the tournament trophy which still bears Dinah Shore's name. Here's a few comments I have from attending my first LPGA event in more than 50 years. Number one, the professional women's golfers really hit the ball a long way. Even the tiniest of the LPGA golfers are able to hit the golf ball 240 yards or more off the tee. And a few of the golfers are now hitting the ball over 275 yards a pop. That is very impressive. Number two, the women's short game skills are every bit as good as those on the men's tour. The greens at the Jack Nicklaus Design Golf Course in the Woodlands are a bit smaller than the LPGA Tour average. Many feature slopes which quickly ushered some of the shots off the lightning-fast greens. Whether chipping back onto the green or via lag putting, the LPGA Tour players display some incredible skill in getting down in two shots on most occasions. It reinforces the need to spend more time practicing our own short games.
Yes!
Number three. The Golf Channel NBC television crews really work some long hours out there. That television operations crew put in some long hours all last week. The tournament featured 3 hours of live television coverage during the midday hours, and then they came back for 2 more hours between 5 and 7. And then the weather forced a few temporary delays on a couple of days. These underappreciated workers, who go unnoticed most of the time, were based in a battalion of production trailers located just off-site in a very muddy quagmire, which also featured a fine assortment of local snakes.
Yeah.
Number four, the pace of play is far too slow. Most LPGA golfers hit the ball off the tee rather quickly and purposefully walk down the fairway. However, the leaders still took an average of 5 hours and 20 minutes to play 18 holes on both Saturday and Sunday. And once the players arrive at the green, it wasn't hard to locate where the problem was. Number five, the golfers are very slow on the green. Why? I watched as most of today's professional golfers are now walking along the line of their upcoming putt and stopping, usually twice, to form kind of a bridge with their feet over the intended line. The golfer apparently now thinks that their feet are able to judge which way the ball is going to break as it heads toward the hole. Now, the former way most of us have done this by looking at the shot from both sides of the hole has been now replaced by this quite silly-looking foot routine. All the greens at this level are fast, and that's why every golfer should spend a little time on the practice green before starting play. Number six, they need to start enforcing the penalties for slow play. This weekend at the Chevron Championship, one player, Lucy Lee, was fined after completing her third round for slow play. She first received a warning and then later a fine. With play now routinely exceeding 5 hours, amateur golfers, and especially those in college and professional golfers, should receive an automatic 2-shot penalty for every slow play violation during the round. That'll get them moving. Tournament officials should also place some traffic cops along the golf course to enforce the pace of play and the rules. And finally, did I say snakes? The name of the city which hosted the event is The Woodlands. In addition to a few deer which were randomly meandering across the property, the golf course featured several lakes, and with a lot of water and the woods nearby, the local snake population was enjoying the spring weather and, in all likelihood, probably doing their best to help repopulate their own species. The tradition at the former Dinosaur Golf Tournament back in California has been for the winner to take a flying leap into a designated special pond just off the 18th hole. But in California, that pond was man-made. At the Jack Nicklaus Club in the Woodlands, Texas, the large lake along the 18th hole was home to, well, many of the aforementioned snakes and other water creatures. When interviewed by the television crews, many of the LPGA golfers were hesitant to commit whether they would jump into the lake if they should win the tournament on Sunday afternoon. This year's ultimate winner, Lilia Vu, was equally concerned about taking such a leap of faith. She said, quote, "Cole, my caddy, and I passed by number 18 during the practice round and discussed, would you jump? And I was like, yeah, I would jump. If I won here, of course I'd jump. Yesterday or the day before, we saw a snake on number 17 pond, and I was kind of thinking about that today, but I guess the emotions were high and the adrenaline was high enough, so I said, gotta jump into that pond." And much to the dismay of a few local reptiles, the lake leap made by champion Lilia Vu and her caddy came off without a hitch this year. But here's a suggestion, Chevron. Do the trophy presentation along a pier you can construct just above the lake on number 18 so that the winner can take possession of the trophy along the, are you ready, Dinosaur. You're welcome. I'm Swamp Swami.
America's asking you to come. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee, performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today, just see the